Dad, tell me where you were born and tell me a little bit about your childhood, where you grew up at.
Dave, I was born in Butler, in the west end part of town, on the Pillar Street area. I have a lot of memories there, Dave, because that's where I started my career, so to speak, in baseball. The Pullman Park was there, and I was a bat boy for the Butler Yankees, and for a period of 8, 9, 10 years, Dave, and it got me started in baseball, and I'm very thankful for that. I attended Butler High School. I'm a graduate of Butler High School. I lived in Butler all my life, and Butler's a wonderful place to be from, and I'm proud to be from Butler.
Tell me a little bit about who the Butler Yankees were and some of the people you met there, some of the famous ball players that you met.
Well, Dave, the Butler Yankees are the farm team of the New York Yankees. I met a lot of ball players, a lot of big leaguers come from the Butler farm system. Whitey Ford, Hank Sauer, Joe Collins, Dick Starr, Carl Drews. I can keep naming them, Dave. And I was a part of those people, and I'm very happy to say that during the war, they disbanded baseball here in Butler, and I remember Frankie Frisch, who visited Butler. He was the manager of Pittsburgh Pirates at the time, and they had some big doings there, Dave. I just can't recall what it was, but anyhow, I was a guide for Frankie Frisch, and Frankie Frisch invited me to come down and work out with the Pirates. And I was about 14 years old, so I would hop the Army short line bus every chance I got during the summer when Pittsburgh was at home, and I'd get down to Forbes Field and work out with the Pirates. And I can remember it was a great thrill for me. I was catching batting practice. They had Hank Greenberg, Ralph Kiner, Billy Cox, Frankie Gustine, Pete Castleone, that whole Pirate contingent. And they had a coach by the name of Honest Wagner. The famous Honest Wagner. During a ball game, I would sit on the trunks out in right field in the bullpen, and he'd have his arms around me, would talk nothing but baseball. What a wonderful old gentleman he was, and it's a great thrill for me just to be in the company of a man of his caliber, Honest Wagner.
That's a great story there. Now tell me, after you graduated Butler High School, what'd you do after that? And give me a little facts what you did after graduation.
Well, Dave, after I graduated high school, I went to play professional baseball. I was scouted by the St. Louis Cardinal farm team, and they took me to spring training, and I played 2 years for the Cardinal organization. Then the Army combined. The Army took me, Dave, and I played baseball in the Army, managed the ball club, managed the Fort Belvoir team, and managed the St. Albans Naval Hospital team. And during my tenure in the service, I also umpired. At that time, they needed somebody who knew anything about baseball to umpire, so I started umpiring and playing ball at the same time, and I enjoyed it. And right after my release from the service, I couldn't throw anymore. I hurt my arm in the service, so I took up umpiring, and I went to George Barr's umpiring school in 1954, and classes lasted for about 6 weeks, and they only had one job opening at that time at George Barr School, and my roommate, dear friend today, Phil Rees, got the only job available in our class. And Phil, well, let's put it this way, I did come back. I was disappointed. I thought I had the ability to become a good umpire, so I was very disappointed. I came back to Butler and went to you. Back to work in the Pullman Standard, Dave, and about a month or 6 weeks went by, and I got received a phone call from Mr. Anderson, who was the president of the Georgia Florida League, and he called me and said that Phil Rees, my roommate at school, decided he would no longer umpire anymore. I guess he had some problems at home with his father, who was very ill at the time, so Phil recommended me to Mr. Anderson. And I'm very much indebted to Phil Rees. Had it not been for Phil Rees, I'd have been up here today in baseball, believe me. And I worked in the Georgia Florida League that year and the following year. And I think my second full year, I went to the Piedmont League. And I had a good year in the Piedmont League, which is Class B. And the following year, the Piedmont League folded. So Mr. Anderson called me and asked me if I'd like to come back down to Georgia Florida League and umpire. And I said, no, I says, I'm not getting anywhere going from B-ball back down to Caius D-ball. So I'm sorry, I don't want to go back, Mr. Anderson. I thank you for asking me. In the meantime, he was disappointed. He called my parents, told my parents, he says, don't let this boy quit. Have him come back. He's big league material. So after some talk with my parents, they decided I should go back, and I went back to the Georgia Florida League that year, and it was a break of a lifetime going back there, because the following year I was bought by the Eastern League, which is Class A, and I worked in that league for, I think, a period of 6 weeks, and the International League bought my contract, and I worked internationally for 2 years, and the National League bought my contract in 59, and here I am. I'm here ever since then.
Yeah, your first year was 1960. I think it was in San Francisco, you were saying. Tell me about your first game at umpire. Were you nervous, and what was the atmosphere like?
Well, actually, Dave, they bought my contract in 59. I did work some games in 59 for the National League, but my first full year was 1960. I opened the Candlestick Park with Jock O'Connell, Augie Donatelli, Ken Burkhart. They were my crew, my partners that particular time. And actually, I was nervous as a devil like anybody else would be. And that's the day a knock came on my door in the dressing room, Dave, and I was rubbing up baseballs, as a rookie always does for the game. A knock came on my door, and somebody asked me if Dick Nixon could come in and use my restroom facilities. And I said no. I didn't know who he was talking about. So a knock came on the door, the second knock, and I opened the door, and there was the Vice President of the United States, Richard Nixon. And he said, Ed, I'm Vice President of the United States, Richard Nixon. May I come in and use your restroom facilities? He says, yes, sir, you most certainly can. How about that? First day in the big leagues, and I told the Vice President of the United States out of the dressing room. Anyhow, we had a nice chat. He told me he came back from Venezuela, and they spat on him, so he says, have a good time, kid. You can umpire, and good luck to you.
Yeah, you umpired for, about 24-plus years. What were some of the most memorable events that you were involved in? Because you had to be involved in a lot of them since you umpired that long. What were some of the memorable events that you were involved in there?
Well, Dave, there were so many memorable events I was involved in. For example, let's go. I worked 4 World Series. First World Series, it was between Los Angeles Dodgers and Minnesota Twins. My second World Series, which is a great thrill for me, was the Pittsburgh Pirates in Baltimore, 1971. And I had the pleasure of calling balls and strikes that particular game. It was the first night game in World Series history. And that was a great thrill for me to umpire in front of my hometown fans here. At least I thought some were my fans. Maybe a lot of them come down to see me make a mistake, but I fooled them all. I called a great ball game. And the third World Series was, it was the Yankees and the Dodgers in 78, and I worked the 83 World Series, Baltimore and Philadelphia. I also worked 4 All-Star Games. In 1976, I worked the All-Star Game in Pittsburgh, which was another great thrill for me because in front of my hometown people here. And I worked 4 LCS Championship Games, and I worked 2 tiebreakers. And another memorable occasion I had, Dave, I called 4 no-hitters in my career. 2 were by Sandy Koufax. 1 was by Don Hutterback, and the other was by Don Wilson. And Sandy Koufax, I called a perfect game against Chicago, and that was a great thrill for me. Another great thrill for me was working behind the plate when Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's record, home run record, of 714. That was in Cincinnati. That was a great thrill for me. Also, a lot of great thrills. I had, I closed Forbes Field down. I umpired the last game in Forbes Field. I umpired the last game in Shy Park in Philadelphia. I umpired the last game in Cincinnati at Crosley Field and also the Polo Grounds in New York. I had so many, Dave. I just take me a long time to tell you what I did, how many memorable occasions I've had.
Yeah, we have a plaque here at our house on the day you're in Cincinnati when Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's record, 714 home runs. What was it like there on that day? I know you told me that President Ford was there, too, and I know Hank Aaron had a lot of security people around him, too, with all this going on. What was the atmosphere like there on that day?
Well, Dave, it was opening day in Cincinnati. I think it was 74.
Yeah.
But it was just like any other ball game. First time at bat, Jack Billingham was a pitcher for Cincinnati. Hank Aaron came up his first time at bat, and he hit a 2-2 pitch to left center field for a home run to tie Babe Ruth's record, and the place went crazy. Of course, they had a lot of security there, following Hank, rightly so. And as soon as he hit the home run, the time was called, and they retrieved the baseball that he hit over the fence, and President Ford come over the rail. They had a ladder for him to come over, and he and I chatted for a while, introduced himself. We chatted for about 10 minutes until they all calmed down. He and Hank, he presented Hank with the baseball and shook his hand and what have you. And Hank was a great ball player with no ifs or ands about it, a great hitter, a great power hitter.
Dad, the next question I'd like to ask you about is, tell me some of the managers that you came across, because you umpired so long in baseball. What were some of the favorite managers that you came across or that you liked?
Well, Dave, actually, I never hated any manager. Leo DeRocher was supposed to be one of the toughest managers and umpires, but actually, I never had a problem with Leo. I guess when I had Leo, he mellowed quite a bit. But Leo was one of my favorites, as was Walter Ralston, Gene Mauch, Chuck Tanner here from nearby Newcastle, whom I consider a great gentleman, a good manager. He never gave the umpires any trouble. And you can go on and on, name them. I never had any problems with any managers. You did your work, they let you go.
Yeah, you told about the managers. Now tell me a little bit about some of the umpires that you work with. There had to be some good ones that you worked with for all those years.
Well, Dave, most all umpires are good I worked with, but comes to my mind, I worked with Jock O'Conlon, Augie Donatelli, Al Barlick, Ken Burkhart, Frank Sicori, Bill Jakowski, Stan Landis, Mel Steiner. Right down the line, Dave, I worked with all of them, and most important, I have a lot of respect for Al Barlick. In fact, he and Jock O'Conlon are both in the Hall of Fame. Al Barlick and I worked together for 9 years. In fact, Al introduced me to your mother, Dave. Your mother was an airline stewardess, so he introduced me to your mother on the airplane. And Al today is a supervisor. He works for me as a supervisor, and I enjoy having Al as one of my top fellas that go out and look for umpires and help me secure umpires for the National League.
Let's see, Dad, the next question is, what year did you finally retire from baseball?
I retired after 1983 season, Dave. I thought I had enough. I was getting some injuries, and I didn't want to get hurt any more than I actually did. So after the 83 series, I retired, and Chub Feeney, who was president of the National League, asked me if I'd like to be a supervisor for him and with the National League. So I accepted the offer, and I was a supervisor for Chubb in 84, 85, and 86. And after Chubb retired as the National League president, the late Bart Giamatti came on the scene, and Bart hired me in his position as the head umpire supervisor.
Yeah, you mentioned about Bart Giamatti. Tell me a little bit about Giamatti and what kind of man he was.
Bart was ex-president of Yale University. Bart loved baseball, and he was a very good close friend of mine. After Bart asked me to accept his job, he and I became very close friends. In fact, we spoke to each other for the first 2 years of his time in the National League. We spoke 365 days a year. And Bart, after he became commissioner, he didn't last too long as a commissioner. He passed away in September that year. That was a great loss for me. Bart and I became the very, very close friends. In fact, I am very close friends with his family today. Bart loved baseball, and had Bart been living today, I don't think we'd have this turmoil we have in baseball today. Bart and I just can't describe words how I feel about the late Bart Giamatti. He was a wonderful man. He was a brilliant man. He loved the game of baseball. In fact, Bart didn't know too much about the game of baseball, Dave, other than being a fan. And I'm happy to say that everything Bart knew about the game of baseball, I taught Bart everything he knew about the game of baseball. In fact, in the evenings, we'd have connecting rooms in spring training, and the door would be open between his room and my room, and he'd be reading some novel. And just to show you what type of fellow he was, he'd holler, "Eddie, what is Rule 602? And I'd tell him what 602 was. He wanted to know the rules of baseball. And Bart was a great man for the game. He loved umpires. He would go to, every time he went to the ballpark, he would visit the umpires. The umpires were his friend, and he was an umpire's friend. The umpires loved him. All baseball loved him.
Dad, you mentioned about being a supervisor. Just explain to me and what the supervisor actually does and who works under you.
Well, Dave, actually, I have a lot of responsibilities as a supervisor. Number one, I do all the scheduling, both for spring training and during the season, and that's a headache in itself. I also find umpires, train umpires for the National League. I have two supervisors working with me, Nick Colosi and Al Barlick. They both work with me, and they're great help to me. And not only that, I serve on the Rules Committee, on the Umpire Development Committee, and that itself is enough in this position, believe me.
Dad, you were telling me about the Bart Giamatti and how great of a guy he was. I thought he was a real great guy, too. I met him in 89 at the All-Star Game in California. He was a great guy. He was involved, as you know, with Pete Rose. Pete Rose was involved in gambling and et cetera. What did you think of that whole situation with Pete Rose and Bart Giamatti, and tell me a little bit about it?
Well, Dave, I'm very familiar with that case between Pete Rose and Bart Giamatti, and I'm not liberty to say too much about it right now, but Bart Giamatti, he thought he did what he thought was right concerning Pete Rose, and I think, actually, Dave, if Pete would have went to Bart before this all came out, I think Bart would have helped Pete quite a bit, and I know that hurt Bart quite a bit, because 2 days before Bart passed away, I was in his office, and in fact, in his apartment, having breakfast with Bart. That affected him very much so. But I think, as I stated before, if Pete would have came to Bart and said, "Bart, I need some help," I think Bart would have helped him. And as far as Pete Rose is concerned, tremendous athlete, a great competitor, a great guy to go with it, and someday I'd like to see Pete be elected into the Hall of Fame. He deserves it.
Yeah, on the subject of the Hall of Fame, you've been going every year up to Cooperstown, New York, to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I know that's where all the inductees go. It's a wonderful little town. You took me there many times when I was little. Tell me a little bit about Cooperstown, what the atmosphere is like up there, and about the Hall of Fame up there.
Cooperstown, the atmosphere is wonderful, Dave. Cooperstown is a little village of about 2,500 people, and during the Hall of Fame weekend, builds up to about 35,000-50,000 people coming in to visit the Hall of Fame and just to see the Hall of Famers, get their autographs and so forth. The weekend is great up there. I've been going up for the last 10 years or so. In fact, I umpire the Hall of Fame game. And just to be among the Hall of Famers, associate and socialize with them, Dave, is a great thrill for me. In fact, I know most of them, and I play golf with them. We have a Hall of Fame golf tournament. We have a lot of fun. They tell a lot of stories. And money just can't buy the experience I have with these Hall of Famers.
Dad, your experience as an umpire, what advice would you give to umpires that want to come up in the future? Tell us a little bit about what it takes to be an umpire.
Well, actually, Dave, it takes a few things to become a good umpire. Number one, you've got to have the ability, you've got to have good judgment, good technique, you've got to have knowledge of rules. And most important of all, you got to have a lot of guts to become an umpire. You have to take charge when you have to. And when I go out and scout umpires, I look for those points and see if we can help them. I can't help them on their judgment, but maybe I can help them on their positioning that would help their judgment. And most fellows, young kids down there, they got to have the desire to become a good umpire. It takes a lot of hard work, both on the field and off the field. And that goes in any walk of life. You got to have the desire. I don't care. You can be what you want to be. Name what you want to be. A doctor, a lawyer, anything. You can do it if you have the guts to do it. You got to have the desire. Young kids today lack that desire. I know when I started, they said I was too small to become an umpire, Major League umpire. I fooled them. Here I am. 5'9", I'm head of all the umpires. So what's it takes? A lot of desire.
Dad, this past year, in 1994, August 11th to be exact, baseball went on strike. This is the 8th work stoppage in league history. What do you think about the state of the game today in 1994 and in the future? What do you think? Where do you think baseball is headed? In the wrong direction?
Geez, Dave, I don't know where baseball is heading, but let's put it this way. The strike has really hurt the game of baseball very much. I think the owners and the players should get together and resolve this thing because the young kids are going to suffer. Baseball is the number one sport in the country, and so many millions of kids out there and little leaguers play baseball. It's hurt the game very much, and I'd like to see the owners and the players come to some deal and get this thing over with. And I know the owners have a problem. I don't know what the players' problem is, but I can tell you the owners' problem is a financial reason. Players are making millions of dollars, and they still want more. But I think baseball forgets one thing. They forget the young kids, the people. What they ought to do is lower the price of the tickets and open the stands and let the young kids come in a ballpark. They're the backbone of this country, the backbone of baseball. Give it back to the kids. And the sooner they can do that, the better off baseball is going to be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that a lot, Dad. I think baseball, there's too much money involved, and I hope that it's solved in the future because it's really bad for the fans. What do you think about the small market teams such as a Pittsburgh or San Diego? What do you think is going to happen with those teams in the future?
I hope nothing happens to them, Dave. Pittsburgh's been here for years, and Milwaukee, most of the teams, the small market teams, are hurting badly. Pittsburgh, San Diego, Milwaukee, Houston, Detroit, Cleveland. Pittsburgh is a small TV market area, Dave, and TV, they put a lot of money in the game. And, for example, let's get New York Yankees. They get $50 million a year from MSG. Now, $50 million, Pittsburgh don't make that in 10 years. New York makes it 1 year. They've got to do something to help these small market teams, and sooner the better. And I hate to see teams like Pittsburgh lose their franchise and move elsewhere. It would hurt not only the city, the outlying district. A lot of people are involved, are employed by baseball here, and it hurts the economy in the cities.
All right, Dad, next question I'd like to ask. Some of the ball players that you played with, there had to be some great ones out there. I know you mentioned a few already before, like Pete Rose and Sandy Koufax. Who were some of the other players that you remember the most that were really, really good?
Well, David, let's go by positions. Let's take the outfield. I'd have to go Stan Musial, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Roberto Clemente. They were my... To me, I think Roberto Clemente was the greatest ball player I'd ever seen. He could run, he could field, he can throw, he could do everything. First base, my top pick for first base would be Gil Hodges. Second base would be Bill Mazeroski. Shortstop would be Ozzie Smith. Third base, it's a toss-up between Brooks Robinson and Clete Bowyer. Catchers, I would have to go with Johnny Bench and Johnny Roseboro. The relief pitcher, Elroy Face, was a great relief pitcher. He played for Pittsburgh. Pinch hitter, Smokey Burgess. He was a great pinch hitter. I can get down and name you a lot of ball players, Dave. Dick Groat was a good one. The pitchers, Koufax, Gibson, Drysdale, Seaver. A lot more of them out there, Dave. They were good ball players, and one of my favorite ball players.
Dad, the next question I'd like to ask you is about baseball expansion. Where do you think that's headed in the future, and do you think there'll be a lot more teams expanding in the near future?
Well, Dave, they've been talking about adding two or four more teams. In my opinion, I think that'd be a big mistake. We just expanded 2 years ago in Denver and in Miami, and I don't think there's just enough ballplayers to go around, David. I think it's going to be a great mistake. The pitching right now is very slim. We don't have that many good pitchers today we had years ago, and if they expand, they better think twice, in my opinion. I don't think that if they add four teams, it's going to do the job. I think it's hurting the game by expanding.
Dad, you've been talking about your whole career and everything, all the wonderful events that happened, and I really enjoyed them. I really enjoyed this conversation. What do you love most about umpiring? What keeps you the most happy about umpiring?
Oh, there's a lot of things, Dave. I'm not umpiring now. I'm in this position, umpire supervisor. It's a great thrill for me. I'm still in a game. I go to ballparks every day. I see at least 140, 150 games a year. Baseball's a wonderful game. Baseball's been good to me, and I hope I've been good to baseball. I'll never knock baseball. Baseball's such a wonderful profession to get into, and I just hope maybe somebody would be just as lucky as I am to have this position.
Yeah, and the last question I'd like to ask you is about your hometown. That's probably the one thing I'd like to ask about you. You grew up, you live right now in Butler, PA. Describe what Butler is like, and I know you had a lot of roots here.
Oh, Butler's a wonderful place, Dave. My roots are here. I think I mentioned early part of this program. My roots are here. My friends are here. I just love the city. It's a wonderful place to raise a family, not only in the city of Butler, but the county of Butler. I don't think there's any place in the United States that I would want to live than I live right here in Butler. People are so friendly. They're helping people. They'll help you one way or the other. Neighbors are wonderful. The city is wonderful. You have colleges around here, Slippery Rock, Grove City, Butler Community College. Can't ask for a better setup than we have here in a college that run Western Pennsylvania. It's just a lovely place to raise a family and be from.
Dad, I would just like to ask you a couple more questions, and then we'll be done with the interview. Number one, can you describe to me some of the baseball memorabilia that you've collected throughout your career? I know I mentioned before about the plaque of you that we have in our house. It's when you were behind the plate when Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's home run record of 714. It took place in Cincinnati in 1974. Other than the plaque, Dad, can you just describe to me some of the treasured artifacts that you've collected and kept stored away for all these years?
Over the period of years, Dave, I've collected a lot of memorabilia. For example, I have a lot of autographed baseballs from the All-Star teams, from the National League All-Stars. I have bats, which I get one every year, and I work the ball game in Cooperstown. I have all National League hats. I have a lot of personal autographs, for example, of Ted Williams, presidents I had, President Kennedy, President Ford, President Nixon, President Bush, some from vice presidents, and I have bat that I'm very much treasure. It's an honest Wagner bat that nobody has, I don't think, in this area. It was given to me by the clubhouse manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates years ago when I was young, and I was working out with the Pirates, and I found it. And it's a bat that was in an honest Wagner in 1960, and it's one of the very, very few bats like that were made, and I'm very proud to have that. I have World Series rings, All-Star rings, bats from different teams, and I'm very proud of my memorabilia collection.
Dad, another question I'd like to ask you. You umpired all those years, 24-plus years. What was it like being out on the road, away from your family? I know a lot of it was distressing to you, being away from your family. Just describe a lot of the traveling that you did all those years, and what was it like?
Well, actually, Dave, the traveling was very difficult. When I first started, I hit 8 cities. When they expanded to 10, I hit 10 cities. And they expanded to 12, I hit 12 cities. And I very seldom got home. Life, Dave, being on the road constantly, I used to live to see my schedule, and I said Pittsburgh on it. Very hard. It was very difficult on your mother, who had to be a mother and a father when I was away from home. But that's part of the profession. You have to realize it. And I know I didn't spend much time with you kids growing up, but that's part of life. And
I hated to be away from home. Of course, I made a nice living by it, and I educated all my kids with that, and the umpiring profession.
The last question I'd like to ask you is, you've told me all these memorable things about you. Just tell future historians that will listen to this tape someday, how would you like to be remembered as an umpire?
Well, I'd like to be remembered as a good umpire, Dave. I like to be remembered as a fella who contributed to the game of baseball, and especially the National League. And that's it, Dave. I just hope people realize that I spent 20-some years umpiring, and I just hope they realize that I umpired and did a good job for these people and the National League.
Well, Dad, thanks a lot, and I really appreciate this interview. I had such a wonderful time listening to the great stories you told me and some of the players and managers that you met. It was just a wonderful time, and I really appreciate you sitting down with me and discussing all this. And I would just like to say that for any future historians that will listen to this someday, I hope they come away with a greater understanding of baseball and also my father's career, because he did have a wonderful career, as you have listened to, and full memories that you can tell your kids about someday. And I just hope that someday that a strike can be over with, and hopefully someday that people can look at it as just a game and not a business. And I hope that you got out of that also the situation concerning baseball today.